Our First Testament lesson comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. You can find this in the Old Testament in your Pew Bible on page 180. Listen for the word of God. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." The word of the Lord.
We turn our attention now to the first letter to Timothy from the Apostle Paul. This is probably one of Paul's earliest letters. And towards the end, he gives just a lot of really good spiritual advice. And so we are in the last chapter, in chapter 6. We're looking at verses 17 through 19. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. "As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life." The word of the Lord. She was at the top of her game. She was one of those Hollywood actresses that people just adored. She was petite and beautiful, but she was also amazingly funny. And starting in her late teens, she began starring in numerous films that were just smashes at the box office. And then in 1942, when she was 33 years old, it was actually January the 16th, Carol Lombard had gone out to sell war bonds to help the war effort. She had left Las Vegas with a bunch of military soldiers and airmen in a transport plane, and it crashed. And she and everyone on board died. It was a moment of mourning for the whole country and for her husband, Clark Gable. He flew out immediately to Las Vegas to see what he could do. And so the whole nation mourned. And yet what most of us don't realize is that there were some people who mourned more than others. people we might not expect. And these were the people who worked with her, the best boys and the grips and the makeup artists, all of the people who had daily contact with her on her films. And the reason they mourned more was because she was their friend. She was one of them. Lombard didn't have her own dressing room, even. She changed clothes and dressed with all the other actresses. She didn't have a personal assistant that kept people away. She hung out on the set. She chatted with people. She shared lunch and meals with them. It was simply she was one of the guys. And all the people who worked with her so appreciated the fact that she was down to earth, that she hadn't let her stardom and all the money and the fame and the publicity go to her head. Somehow, she had that amazing ability to maintain her balance in life, to enjoy what came to her and yet not let it go to her head. So the question becomes for us, how do we do that? Now, I realize your first response may be, well, John, that's why I decided not to become a famous Hollywood celebrity. That's why I chose not to be as wealthy as Bill Gates. That's why I chose not to buy the world's biggest yacht. And that would seem to do it, right? We're not famous. We're not in the spotlight. So it's easy for us to sort of keep our balance and keep our head relatively small. But the interesting thing about us as human beings is it doesn't take much for us to get the big head. It doesn't take much for us to lose our balance. Maybe we're the high school quarterback that gets the winning touchdown in the big game, and we think we're just it. Or maybe we've gotten a promotion at work, and that means we're better than all these other people who didn't get the promotion. Or someone gives us an attaboy, or I suppose an attagirl, and we think, oh, look, I must be something special to get this. And suddenly, we begin to lose that spiritual balance. Our head and our ego begin to grow in proportion to one another. And to sort of prove my point, let me ask, how many of you have either been in school with or worked with or known someone who thought more of themselves than you thought they ought to think of themselves? Any of you? Okay. See, now I'm on safe ground because I didn't ask you if you lived with someone who thought they thought more of themselves than they should. And this is why I think the church and God's people have always struggled with success, with wealth, with power. Because with success and wealth and power, it becomes so easy for us to lose our balance. It becomes so easy for us to think that we are more important than we are, that somehow we are better than all the rest of God's children. We deserve all of the perks and everything that come with who we are and where we are in life. I mean, on the one hand, Scripture says success is okay. It's fine. All you have to do is look at Abraham, right? Abraham begins his story as Abram, and he's doing okay. He's sort of comfortably middle class. He has some animals. He has a wife. He has some servants. But along the way on his journeys, he becomes fabulously wealthy. And the same thing happens to his grandson Jacob. Jacob starts with nothing, goes to work for his uncle Laban, and slowly over time, because of his hard work, his ingenuity, he builds up and amasses all sorts of flocks and herds and servants. And the Scripture says, this is great. This is a blessing from God. It is okay to work hard and to save and to accumulate. This is not a problem. But at the same time, Scripture also sees what happens to people who do that. And so you have Jesus saying things like, it'll be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it will be for a rich person to get into heaven. And Jesus says that Gentiles, they lord it over one another. They boss one another around. But that's not the way God's people are supposed to be. We're supposed to be last and not first. We're supposed to be servant rather than master. And so I think what Scripture is trying to do is help us hold our balance when we have become successful, when we have done well. And that's at the heart of both of these passages this morning. Because both of these texts help lay out for us sort of a program for maintaining our balance. And it's by practicing three spiritual disciplines. The first spiritual discipline is gratitude. Both of these texts focus on the fact that what the people have, they didn't create on their own. In that great Deuteronomy text, what you have is, I don't know if you counted how many times it says, what God has given you. The land that God has given you, the resources that God has given you, the produce that God has given you. And when the people come and bring their tithe to the foot of the altar, they're supposed to be doing it out of gratitude. They are to look to God and say, God, I'm doing this not because you ordered me to, but because I'm grateful for what you've given me. Gratitude. And the same thing is true of this text at the end of 1 Timothy, where it says, but we ought to give this to God who richly provides us with everything. See, there is this realization for Paul that, sure, we may work hard, but ultimately, underneath it all, is God's providential hand. And so we are to be grateful, and that's the first of the spiritual disciplines. And the reason gratitude helps us maintain our balance is that it reminds us that we didn't accumulate all of this by ourselves. And I've said this before, but we didn't create the earth. We didn't bring the rain. Most of us didn't create the financial system or the banking system or the great industries in which we work. We are the beneficiaries of a lot, and so we ought to be willing to be grateful, to show gratitude. That's the first. Now, the second one, interestingly enough, is one that I don't think I've ever preached on before in all my 30 years of ministry. And that's the spiritual discipline of enjoyment. Enjoyment. We read again from Timothy. As for those who in this present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And in the Old Testament text, it says that once you bring all of these things and share them with the Levites and the aliens, you are to celebrate. You're to throw a party. You are to enjoy life. And this is one of those great sort of Jewish traditions that we could learn a lot from. Because within Judaism, a huge part of life is about enjoying life, enjoying what God has given to us. Now, see, strangely enough, somewhere along the road, we sort of Western Christians, we decided that we weren't supposed to enjoy life. We were supposed to be those sort of dour Puritans who didn't do anything that was fun or enjoyable. But that's not what Scripture tells us. It says this earth is a gift of God, and everything in it is a gift of God, and we are to enjoy it all. And where this helps us maintain our balance is it reminds us that success is not an end of itself. that wealth is not an end of itself, that power is certainly not an end in itself, that instead all of these are simply to be part of life that lets us enjoy what God has given us. The last spiritual discipline is generosity. Generosity. Both of these texts deal with taking what we've received from God and sharing them. In the Old Testament text, we have the idea of the tithe. That people wonder, well, where did the church get this strange idea of giving 10%, of tithing? This is it. That throughout Deuteronomy, you have this idea of the tithe, that you take 10% of what you've been given and you return it to the work of God. And so you are to be generous. You are to take the first fruits, not the last stuff, not the leftovers, not what sort of isn't good. You take the first fruits, what's the best, and you turn that over to God to use, to enjoy. And then again, in Paul's letter to Timothy, he talks about those who have the means. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous, ready to share. Generosity. And generosity helps us to be balanced by reminding us that ultimately what we have is not ours. It's not ours, it's God's. And all God asks is 10% back. God doesn't ask for it all. God says, no, you take, you enjoy. Be gracious, care. It's easy for almost any of us to get carried away with ourselves, to lose our balance, to think more of ourselves than we should. But the gift of God is that if we practice these three spiritual disciplines, we will maintain our balance. We will be able to keep our heads where they ought to be, remembering that we are a child of God along with everyone else. And so my challenge to you on this day is this: to ask yourself, how am I practicing these spiritual disciplines in such a way that I might maintain my true identity as a child of God, and that through that, I am willing to be grateful, to enjoy what God has given me, and to be generous with what God has granted me? How am I practicing these disciplines that I might find balance in all of life? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you help us to maintain that balance between working hard and accumulating and being generous and enjoying and grateful. Help us to turn to you always, keeping these spiritual gifts before us as we strive to follow you. In Christ's name, amen.